You pray for the choir. Lord willing, we're trying, attempting.
Getting out of demons. Now, listen carefully as I read these passages and turn to them quickly and follow the line of thought. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 20. Matthew 7, verse 20. Therefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm abbreviating these readings for the sake of time. Look at verse 25. This is the man who came with a demon-possessed son. And starting in verse 25, it says, And when Jesus saw that a multitude came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And having cried out and torn him much, he came out, and the boy became as one dead, insomuch that the more part said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, How is it that we could not cast it out? And he said unto them, This kind can come out by nothing save by prayer and fasting. Look down at verse 38. John said unto him, Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who can do a mighty work in my name, and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. Turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And now, Acts 19. Turn to the last scripture that I want to read to you. Acts chapter 19. And look at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, insomuch that unto the sick were carried away from his body handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out. But certain also of the strolling Jews, exorcists, took upon them the name over them that had the evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and mastered both of them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, that dwelt at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for all of this strange information that thou dost bring to us from thy word. We confess that it is an area about which we would know nothing for certain unless thy spirit revealed it unto us. But thou hast told us so many things about this unseen world surrounding us. And we pray that thou shalt, being the strongest of all, come and enable us to work in this area and to preach the truth, even though the principalities and powers and the world rulers of this darkness would oppose us. Would you prepare every heart? May the hearts here not be like the wayside, where when the seed falls, the birds of the heaven come and devour it. But we pray that by thy Spirit every heart shall be prepared, and the good seed of the word of God shall fall in and bring forth fruit abundantly. And so cleanse us, prepare us, and empower us to magnify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. In past weeks, I was telling you about the Lord Jesus and his power to cast out demons. But this week, I read you about lesser beings, simply ordinary mortals that are doing the same thing that the Lord Jesus did that I related to you in previous weeks. And what is so fascinating is that there is a similarity, but at the same time, a difference between the way that the Lord Jesus went about exorcising, and that exorcising simply means casting out of spirits. But we find that the Lord Jesus is not the only one who did cast out evil spirits. And so there is no doubt as to what the Word of God teaches. I was careful to bring to your attention in past weeks that the Scriptures distinguish between a man that had a disease that was organic and a disease that was spirit inflicted. There are some who are deaf because, as I knew, the daughter of one of the Christians in Ohio, there was some defective organ in the ear, and when the physicians came and corrected that organ, the child was able to hear. And so this had nothing to do with demon possession, a deaf and dumb spirit. But the Scripture distinguishes between those that did have physical afflictions and those that had physical afflictions that were brought on by Satan or by those that are under his command. I didn't read you this Scripture, but I told you about it. This woman who was bent double, and for 18 years she had been tormented by Satan. The Lord Jesus tells us that. Now, what is so important is this. As I've been bringing out on Wednesday nights, where have you been on Wednesday nights? I've been bringing it out that among the gifts in the church, in 1 Corinthians 12, there is the gift of the discernings of spirits. And our Lord was able to distinguish when a person was demon-possessed or when a person had organic physical problems. And if it were demonic possession, the Lord Jesus would speak a word and the demon would go and the hearing would return. But if it were some physical thing, the Lord Jesus on one occasion took his fingers and forced them into the one who was deaf, into his ears. He did it that way. When it was physical, he went through one manner of healing, and when it was spiritual, demon possession, he went through another manner of healing that individual. Will you remember then that there are physical maladies and there are spiritual maladies, and there are not always people who have that discernment. I learned that, and strange to say, this person that I know told me about it personally, who has no gift of discernment. Of all people that seem to have the least discernment, this dear Christian lady seems to have the least, just as sweet as she could possibly be, and she was telling this on herself. She didn't even have discernment enough not to humiliate herself. But she was saying, I was visiting in the hospital, and I went in, it went something like this, the story she told me. I went into this woman's room, and I saw that she was sick. And I went up to this woman, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, evil spirit, to come out of that woman. And she said, and the woman looked at me and said, are you out of your cotton-picking mind? She said, I don't have an evil spirit. I've got appendicitis. And so here was a woman, though. Here's somebody sick. And so this woman is going in, and in the name of Jesus, is going to command a spirit to go out. Now, I think if that had happened, I wouldn't let you know that I had failed to distinguish between something that was appendicitis and something that was brought on by a demon that is afflicting and ill. No discerning of spirits. And in like manner today, unless you have that gift of the discerning of spirit, it may very well be that you look at a person and you say, "Why, I think that person is demon possessed," but it may be something physical. Or you think it's something physical and it may be demon possession. And so if you don't know, say, "I don't know." But don't go trying to exorcise a spirit that is not there and then upset this poor person that's in the hospital, because not everyone has a good, strong sense of humor and ability to say, "Are you out of your cotton-picking mind? I wish that this is what they would say to many of these charlatans that go around," and at the same time, these are misguided Christians who think that everything is according to the way that they see it. But not everyone does. And you can go into some person that is weakened by sickness and start talking to them about evil spirits, and then you'll bring on some mental problem. There was nothing wrong with them at all, but you bring on this mental problem because they start saying, "Oh, then this physical thing is spirit wrought. It's not physical at all." And so please keep this in mind. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, and in the case of this Syrophoenician woman and this man who had a son, they were able to tell, this is demon possession. And so do not say that it's demon possession today unless you know it. And at the same time, if you're not sure, you can say, "I know that in New Testament times there was this prevalence of demons. And as I was going through every occurrence of the word demon in the entire Word of God in the New Testament, you will find that most of the activity occurs in the Gospels, but then you will find it later on in the Acts, and then a little bit in the Epistles. But most of it is concentrated during the life of our Lord." And if you ask this, "Well, what about today? Why do we not see the same demonic activity today?" Well, you may very well see it, but it's disguised. And at the same time, you may not be able to discern that he is Satan or his spirit who is working in these individuals, but the Lord Jesus was able to discern. On one occasion, when our Savior had announced that he was going to be crucified, Peter came and said, "Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never happen unto thee." And the Lord Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Do you understand? The Lord Jesus understood that Satan was activating even a man like the Apostle Peter. The Savior knew that. But today, you hear things spoken, and if you have not the gift of discernment, or if you do not even know what God's Word teaches, then you will be led astray. That's what I read to you, and I emphasized it, and I labored a point that seemed so elementary that I was ashamed to tell you about it. But the Apostle Paul said, "I want you to understand this rule. No one in the Spirit who is speaking in the Spirit says, Jesus is cursed." You say, "Well, of course not." Well, it's so elementary that some Christians do not even know that if a man is speaking in a derogatory manner about the Savior, this is not of God. And at the same time, Paul says, any man cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. If he's exalting the Lord Jesus, this is by the Spirit. He says this is the most basic, simple rule to follow. And yet some Christians lack discernment to such an extent that if any man has on robes and stands up in the name of religion and speaks, they say, "Why, this man is talking about the Lord Jesus. Why, he must be a good man. He must be a Christian man." By no means. There is this test, first of all, that is given. But now, bringing back our thoughts to the task at hand, it is the consideration of exorcism, and by that it's simply casting out demons in a man or a woman who is demon-possessed. Exorcism by those other than our Lord. I'm so thankful for the Lord, because his own disciples failed on occasion. And when they failed, the Lord Jesus said, "Bring him here to me." They're glorious words. You see, you're a miserable failure. I get up and try to preach the gospel, and I stumble. And as a reverend was saying this morning, we are trying to praise and worship the Lord in an acceptable way, and we are not able to do it. We're all conscious of our failure. But I'm so thankful that wherever we fail, the Lord Jesus says, "You bring him to me." And we do not know how to worship and praise the Father, but you read John 17 and you'll see that the Lord Jesus does. Wherever there is failure on our part, there is excellence and perfection on the part of the Lord Jesus. And so, when you fail in a task and you say, "Brother Mills, Would you help me out? I confess that I say, I don't know. If you have failed, I'll do what I can. But whenever there was failure on the part of the disciples, the Lord Jesus said, bring him to me. And the Lord Jesus spoke the word, and the demon was cast out. But in the portions that we read, did you associate them? Did you connect them? Do you see how they are connected and how they are alike and how they differ? Well, listen as we go along. In Matthew 7, we have those that purportedly have cast out demons in our Lord's name, but the Lord does not recognize them. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and in thy name cast out demons? And the Lord shall say, I never knew you. But here are those who say that they cast out demons in the Lord's name, that they preach in the Lord's name. Whether they did or did not is something we shall consider in the will of God presently. But now, afterwards, we read about those who were successful in casting out demons in our Lord's name. Now, we have three classes brought to our attention. First of all, those that our Lord never knew. That's in Matthew 7. But in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 10, we have those who were able to cast out demons in our Lord's name. And in one instance, the disciples saw a man who was casting out demons in the Savior's name. Keep that in mind. Here is one that did not follow them, but he was casting out demons in the Lord's name. And the apostles say, we saw him casting out demons. And so here is a man who was casting out demons. Now, in Luke chapter 10, we have another step. Not one that did not follow the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus called 70 people, and he sent them forth, and he empowered them. He gave them authority to cast out demons and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And they returned and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. You see? And so now we have three classes, all of them talking about casting out demons. And of these, two we know were successful. But here's the strange thing. I read you about the apostles themselves who, in the face of this father who brought his son that was demon-possessed, had to confess to the Lord Jesus, we were not able to cast it out. So here are true followers of the Lord Jesus, and they try to cast out a demon, and they're not able. And here is one that does not even follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to cast out demons. Are you not glad that we have the word? Because you being biased and I being prejudiced would say, well, only those that are true followers of the Lord and only those that follow the way of God more perfectly, they are the only ones that are able to do these things. All power is with them. But you will find that at times, the very ones that are named apostles of our Savior, not Peter, James, and John, they were with the Savior up in the mount, but Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the rest of them that were down in the valley, they, the apostles, were trying to cast out demons, but they were unable. So keep this in mind, that there are those who may not know the way of God perfectly, as we do. You see, we're the people, and wisdom is going to die with us, but sometimes we who have all of this wisdom, and we're authorized to do these things, we are powerless in the face of the enemy. But others that do not follow, why, some way, they have that power, and we don't like it at all. But more of that later in the will of God. But then, we come to another class still that were unable to cast out demons, and we see why. You see, here are three classes, perhaps, that are not able to cast out demons, or three classes, one that said they cast them out, we don't know if they did, one that tried to cast them out, and they were not able. And here is another entirely different class in Acts chapter 19 that I read you about. And they are trying to exorcise, cast out demons, and they are unable. And I can't help but laugh every time I read Acts chapter 19, because there are so many pretensions of the enemy. You go to magnificent edifices, you see people that are dressed up in glorious religious garb, and the world is so impressed by these individuals. And so here come some strolling Jews, the seven sons of Sceva, and they say, oh, so this is the new way to cast out demons. It's in the name of Jesus. And so they come to this man that is actually demon-possessed. And in the name of Jesus, they are commanding this evil spirit to come out. And the evil spirit says, now, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? And then they get this demon-possessed man to jump on them and beat them and bloody them. And they run out of the house wounded and naked. And I say, it serves them right. They are trying to work in the name of the Savior. And the Savior doesn't know them. And the demon doesn't know them either. Now, if I tried to do something in the name of the Lord, I may be a weak, failing Christian, but the demons know whose I am, whom I serve. And they wouldn't say, we don't know you and we don't recognize that you belong to the Savior. They may laugh at me and say, you don't have the power to cast us out. But thank God they'll never say, I don't know you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here are pretenders that come along, and there are those who are always looking for some new thing, some new religion, some new way to cast out demons. Let me see this book on magic. What does it say now? How do I cast this spell to get rid of this demon out of this man? There are always people that are doing things that way. But from the scriptures that I read you, do you see that all of them are alike? And yet there is a great variety in the scriptures. That is why you should read them to get knowledge. And then, as God enables you, compare them, consider them, and then God will give you wisdom to understand the teachings that are contained in the passage. Now, I want to go back to the very first one. Having given you a general introduction in these passages to exorcism, true and false, we want to ascertain whether or not these individuals in Matthew 7 who said, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not cast out demons in thy name? In thy name, did we not do many mighty works? And please note that the Lord Jesus does not deny that they did not do these things. But the Lord Jesus does deny that he has anything to do with them, that there was ever any intimate knowledge of their knowing him and his knowing them. He says to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Please notice, it's not as some, they were saved and they were lost. The Lord Jesus did not say, at one time I knew you, but now I knew you not, know you not. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You say, well then, if they never knew the Lord Jesus, and if the Lord Jesus never knew them, they were unable to prophesy. They were unable to cast out demons. But that's wrong. Because had you been here on Sunday nights, we are considering false prophets. And false prophets at times are able to listen to the voice of God. We considered last week about Balaam. And Balaam had an intimacy with God that I have not had in a physical sense. Balaam, when others wanted an answer from God, could go up into the presence of God at night and God would commune with this man. And yet the Bible tells us that he was a false prophet and he is condemned at every turn in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He was a covetous man who desired to die the death of the righteous, but he did not die the death of the righteous. He died the death of the wicked. And so I find that there are false prophets that can prophesy in the Lord's name. I was going to bring this out. There were so many areas that I wanted to bring to your attention, but simply accept it for now. If I tell it to you as this, that here is Balaam, a false prophet, and he casts out demons. Or rather, he prophesies in the Lord's name. And for the casting out of demons, tell me, when the Lord Jesus empowered the 12 apostles, do you think that Judas Iscariot was not empowered as well as the rest of them? You say, why, I don't know. Well, at the Lord's Supper, that first Lord's Supper, when they were saying to the Lord Jesus, who had exposed one and said, one of you is going to betray me. Don't you know that if Judas had tried to do these things, if he had tried to preach and cast out demons, and he had never been able, all of them would have said, why, Judas is the one who's going to betray you. Why, he's never been able to preach. Why, he's never been able to cast out demons. It's evident from the start that he was never one of us. But they did not recognize it. And you will find that there are those who have been empowered by God to cast out demons, to foretell the future that had never belonged to him. You say, well, I'm on dangerous ground. Why, this is eerie, and it's frightening to think then that there are false prophets who can preach in the name of the Lord, and there are false prophets who can do powers in the name of the Lord. How am I ever going to know unless I have the gift of the discerning of spirits? And so important is it that I'm going to read you the passages that tell you how. And so turn back to Deuteronomy. Get your Bible now. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Some people know no tests. Other people know one test. Others know two tests. But those that are better informed still know three tests. And so you may mark it down that I told you that there are those who are not God's prophets who can preach in the name of the Lord. There are those who are not God's prophets who can perform miracles in the name of the Lord. But let's read the text. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and if you don't have it, we have to read. All right, look at verse 20. But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so keep that first test in mind. There are some of you who read about Gene Dixon, and you look at all these magazines. The world's prophets are going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And they tell you, and once in a while they'll hit it or get near enough to say, look, this is a great prophet. But others miss time and time again. And yet you don't understand that God has said they have failed. God's prophets never miss one time. Don't you understand? It's not that a man has a 500 batting average. Well, this man must be a prophet. Do you think that Paul ever prophesied incorrectly? That the Lord Jesus or any of the others prophesied incorrectly? Of course not. Agabus never prophesied incorrectly. Why? Because they were God's true prophets. That's why. And so if a man misses one time, he is not God's divinely inspired prophet. He has spoken presumptuously. If it doesn't come to pass, you don't have to be afraid of him, no matter how religious he is, no matter what he professedly has told you about the future. All right. If he says it and it doesn't come to pass, write him off. He's not of God. Now, turn back to chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 13. You say, well then, that's the test. If it doesn't come to pass, he's not of God. Well then, the correlative is this. If it does come to pass, he is of God. Look at verse 1. Now listen carefully. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he hath spoken to thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Now, you see, God at times allows false prophets to give a sign and to tell. So do not say, I think you were making it up. God says, I did it, and God empowers that man to do it. He said, I'm putting you to the test. You say, well, how will we know if it's of God, if God empowers the man? This, the man who is empowered to perform a miracle, he has to have doctrine strictly in accordance with the word of God. If he performs a sign, and then he says, now, let's do this. And what he says to do is contrary to the doctrines written in the Bible. You laugh at him and say, your number is mine. You're exposed. I know you. You're a false prophet as well. If a man says, I'm of God, look, I performed this sign. But then he tells you that Christ is not the virgin-born Son of God, that his blood does not cleanse from sin. When he tells you these things, you know that God empowered him to perform the miracle, perhaps. But God said, I'm proving you to see if you love me. And so some people are so taken up by signs that if a man did this, you would say, what he has to say about the Bible must be true. But you're wrong. And so you see a sign. Yes, he worked a sign, but his doctrine doesn't conform with the sign. Well, what about a man who speaks something that's going to happen, that it comes to pass, and then his doctrine is according to the Bible. What about that man? No, there is a third test, and I'm so glad that I'm here to tell you what it is, and I told you in Matthew chapter 7. Don't turn to that, but just listen for now. In Matthew 7, the man said, I preached in your name, I prophesied in your name, and in your name I cast out demons. Let's say that he did. The Lord in Deuteronomy 13 says it's possible. The Lord Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. He calls him a wicked man. And they shall say unto me, and I shall say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now do you see the third test? There is a threefold test. If he speaks it and it doesn't come to pass, he's false. If he speaks it and it comes to pass, but his doctrines are not the doctrines of this book, he is a false prophet. If he speaks it and it comes to pass, his doctrines are according to this book, but his life is one of sin, he is a false prophet. There is a threefold cord, and it cannot be broken. And so unless I find another, if a man, and you don't like what he says and does, but the man gives a sign, and it comes to pass, and he preaches doctrines according to this book, and his life is empowered by the Spirit of God to live above reproach, then perhaps your thinking was wrong. Perhaps this man is right. But don't be deceived by any of these things that I've been telling you so far. Do you see? There are those that do wonder-working powers, and at times they do it by the power of Satan, and at times they do it by the power of God, because God enables them. You say, how can they know the future? I read to you in Deuteronomy 13, God said, I'm putting you to the test. And so God lets this thing come to pass to test you whether you're going to go after a sign, a wonder-working man, or whether you're going to go after a man who does perform a sign that glorifies God and the Lord Jesus, and then his life is enriched and ennobled by the power of the Spirit of God. Give him that threefold test, and then if you doubt him, well, I don't know what you're going to do. You'll have to find something else. I'm looking for it, but if he passes this threefold test, why, he is a prophet that has credentials that are beyond reproach. Now this, will you please notice the attitude of the Lord Jesus and the attitude of the disciples toward one who cast out demons that did not follow the disciples? They came up to him and said, Lord, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him. Now, you and I are liable to say, good. You see, if he had any sense, he would be coming over here to Grace Chapel. He wouldn't be going to the denominations round about. Well, I believe you're right. If he knew the way of God more perfectly, and he knew about worshiping God in spirit and truth, perhaps that's so. But the Lord Jesus does not say that. He said, forbid him not. Think of the presumption of John and the other disciples who say, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him. They took it upon themselves to say, you don't cast out demons in the Lord's name unless you follow with us. The Lord Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man who shall be able to do a mighty work in my name that shall be able quickly to speak evil of me. Do you not understand that there are some who are genuinely saved and they are seeking to learn? There are those, I trust, that are going to learn in Goldsboro. They learn of these strange ways that we worship and serve the Lord, and they're strange because they don't know what's written in this book. But I do not tell them when they come in my presence, you're all wrong. Everything that you're doing is satanic. You simply speak to them, and you do not forbid them to do what they're doing, but you show them the way of God more perfectly, because if they're able to preach the gospel and souls are getting saved and they're genuinely saved, then they must respect the things that are contained in this book. And to remember the attitude of the Lord Jesus toward those that do not know the way of God perfectly, and those that do follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If the man were right, he would follow the Lord Jesus. Keep in mind that something is wrong when one who has power does not come and follow the Lord Jesus closely. There's something wrong. But the Lord Jesus says, do not forbid him. If all the denominations in town do not follow the Lord Jesus closely, but they have power to preach the gospel and save souls, forbid them not. Let them save souls. Because in Goldsboro, usually they save them, and they get discontented with where they've been going, and then they come over to the gospel chapel. Please forbid them not getting souls saved. We get so few saved that gather to the name of the Lord. But the Lord says, my attitude is entirely different than yours. Perhaps he shall learn that what you're teaching is the word of God, and then he will not only have power, but at the same time he will have teaching from the Bible. Keep that in mind. Now, again, the attitude the attitude of those who can cast out demons, and the attitude of the Lord Jesus toward them that come saying, we have power to cast out demons, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And the Lord Jesus said, in this rejoice not, that you have power to cast out demons, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Why? I just told you about some who cast out demons in his name in Matthew 7. But the Lord said, your name isn't written in heaven. Now, I'm looking at you, and I'm asking, you who say, I preach, I testify, for I do great things in the name of the Lord. I'm asking you this, has the Lord done great things in you? Moral things. There are always those who can put on an outward show. But unless the Spirit of God is empowering a man, it says that we have to be empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit himself witnessed with our spirit. And so it is something that the Spirit of God has done to you and in you as well as through you. Because those who have done things outwardly, like preaching and casting out demons, it's one thing. But when the Spirit of God has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and though you once followed the pathway of sin, now you are following the pathway of righteousness empowered by the Spirit of God, that is the thing that calls you to rejoice. And the Lord Jesus said, your name is written in heaven. And that's the first thing to figure out. Is your name written in heaven? Have you been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ? Then if you have, by all means, prophesy in Christ's name and do all in your power to resist the devil and fight against the spiritual hosts of wickedness, but make sure that your name is written in heaven. The Lord Jesus gives us this advice. Let us consider it carefully. Let us pray. Our Father, thou hast told us that great is the power of the enemy, but we are so thankful that thou hast told us that greater is he, the Holy Spirit of God, who is in us, than he, Satan, and his demons, who are in the world. We are thankful that thou hast shown us that we are no match against him. How great are his deceits! And we've seen, Father, in thy wisdom, you check men to see if they love you alone, if they will follow and obey your commands. And so let us not be deceived by his devices. We remember that Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices, but let us be informed on these things. And let us make sure that our names are written in heaven. The only way we can be sure is to call upon the name of the Lord from our hearts, and thou hast said that we shall be saved, and then we will discover that our names are written in heaven. We thank you for this, and then by thy grace, let us resist the devil, and let us preach the gospel to every creature. May everyone here have his or her name written in heaven, and then be able to go forth and work for God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is